This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now they count. Game one tomorrow night, 8 o'clock in Toronto between the Canadiens and the Penguins. And here to join us to preview it from the Montreal side of things, Montreal Gazette columnist Stu Cowan. Good morning, Stu. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing really well. Thank you for the time today. I guess the view of things from down here, and it feels like the majority of fans and analysts around the NHL are looking at this Pens-Canadiens series and saying one of two things. Either, okay, it's the Pens and it's the Canadiens with the worst record of the 24 teams in the restart. This should be a 3 or 4 game walkover. Or they're saying, but anytime Carey Price gets hot, you never know what could happen. So what are Canadiens fans thinking about the fact that, A, they're a part of this, B, they draw the Penguins, and then I guess final piece of it is, what do they expect from Carey Price and this team that started to tear down Marc Bergevin did right before the trade deadline?
Well, the thing is that a lot of Canadiens fans are hoping they lose this series because then they'll have a 12.5% chance at the number one pick in the draft, who's going to be Alexis Lafreniere, and it's been years and years since the Canadiens had a French-Canadian star player who could score. So I think a good portion of the Canadiens fan base are hoping they're going to lose to the Penguins. As far as Carey Price, the Canadiens for so many years now have been built on, well, let's hope we can get into the playoffs, and then as Marc Bergevin likes to say, anything can happen, and we have Carey Price in goal. The last time the Canadiens were in the playoffs 3 years ago against the Rangers, Price basically did stand on his head. He had a 1.86 goals against average. He had a .933 save percentage. But the Canadiens still lost in 6 games to the Rangers because they could only score 11 goals in those 6 games. And that's been the Canadiens' problem for so many years now. I mean, the days of the Flying Frenchman are long gone. This is a team that struggles to score goals. They're terrible on the power play. And they rely on Carey Price, which is why Marc Bergevin gave him that $84 million contract. But even Carey Price standing on his head doesn't guarantee the Canadiens a win. This is not a good hockey team. They don't deserve to be in the playoffs. They had a 31-9 record. And, before the trade deadline, Marc Bergevin dealt away some key players, including Ilya Kovalchuk, who was an offensive force for them when he was here. So they're actually worse now than they were before the trade deadline. So, for me personally, if they win one game against the Penguins, I think that that's about all they're good for.
Well, Stu, the other day, actually, the Penguins fans are watching the Penguins power play look absolutely awful. But turns out, had they paid attention to the exhibition game the Canadiens played, they saw a power play that was a whole lot worse. I mean, how do you go, not only just go, what was it, 0 for 6 and then 2 shorthanded goals? That's unbelievable.
Yeah, Canadiens can ask the NHL if they can decline the Penguins' penalties during the postseason series. I don't think that's going to happen. But the power play has just been dreadful here for the last 3 years at least. As I said, they should have missed the playoffs for the third straight season this year. It's hard to understand. I mean, part of it is the good thing is they have Shea Weber and his big blast from the point. The bad thing is that everybody else knows they have that, and if they shut that down, the Canadiens' power play can't find another way to score. And that's, again, it's been an ongoing problem. It's been a real frustration for the fans. There's talent out there. You got Jonathan Drouin. You got guys who are offensively gifted. Nick Suzuki, the rookie center who had a really good season. He's out in the number one unit now trying to provide some kind of a spark there. But, you know, the game against the Leafs, it was just dreadful. I mean, they couldn't even get the puck in the Leafs zone. They had problems getting the puck out of their own zone on the power play. And then, as you said, you know, they gave up two shorthanded goals and they lost the game by two goals. So it's just another reason why, I mean, I just, you know, the Canes were 1-1-1 against the Penguins this season during the regular season. The first two games, Sidney Crosby didn't play. In the third game, when he did play, the Penguins won 4-1 and Crosby had three assists. So, you know, the good thing going into these playoffs is the teams are all basically healthy. The Canes are healthy. The bad news for them, I mean, I know Sidney Crosby has missed some practices during training camp, et cetera. But, you know, I imagine he's going to be playing and is relatively healthy. So that's bad news for the Canadians. More bad news for the Canadians.
Stu Cowan of the Montreal Gazette with us here on the Fan Morning Show. What worries Penguins fans, Stu, is that the Canadiens may be able to replicate in some small way at least what the Islanders did last April, which is force Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin and other guys into bad turnovers, just stupid plays in the neutral zone. They may be able to get after him with the forecheck, a little bit of dump it into the corner and chase after it, force the Penguins defensemen to play with their back to the forecheck a little bit, and perhaps create those turnovers in the zone as well that could turn into scoring opportunities. They love to pepper the opposing goaltender with pucks in Montreal, even if they're not all great scoring chances. So can they do enough of that to replicate what the Islanders did last April? Do they have the speed to do that?
They have the speed. I just don't think defensively. I mean, you know, the Penguins are a two-headed monster with Crosby and Malkin. And, you know, Philip Deneau is going to be a key player for the Canadiens. He's developed into one of the best two-way centers in the NHL. But, you know, he can't be on the ice against both of those guys. And I'm pretty sure the Penguins will split up Crosby and Malkin on different lines. And, you know, their second-line center is Suzuki. There's a man. I mean, he's a rookie. He's a good player, but he's going to be going up against, it looks like, probably Malkin. Their third-line center is Jesperi Kotkaniemi in his second season, another 20-year-old. And the Canadiens have actually dropped Max Domi down to the fourth line. He was their leading scorer two seasons ago. I guess Claude Julien, you know, he's a type 1 diabetic. He missed the first week of training camp while deciding whether he was going to play or not, having his doctor and agent and whatnot look into the, you know, the ramifications of what would happen or could happen if he was to contract COVID-19 as a type 1 diabetic. So people weren't surprised to see him on the fourth line when he did return. But I think people, including me, are surprised to still see him on the fourth line now heading into the series. He's playing with Dale Weiss and Jordan Wheel. So I just don't think the Canadiens have the depth. They don't have the depth offensively to score, and they don't have the depth defensively to check those two guys.
So having said all that, what has to happen for the Canadiens to upset the Penguins?
They need something like what happened the last time the Canadiens upset the Penguins in the playoffs when Yaroslav Halak was the goalie. He had taken the number one job away from Price at that point. He stood on his head and was absolutely amazing. Won the series almost single-handedly. And the other guy, a key guy in that series, was Mike Camilleri, who just started scoring at almost like a goal-per-game pace. So the Canadiens would need Carey Price to sort of repeat the heroics that Yaroslav Halak had, and they'd need another Mike Camilleri. They'd need another guy to step up and start putting the puck in the net. You know, as I mentioned, those six games against the Rangers 3 years ago, the Canadiens scored 11 goals, and we saw what the power play was like the other night against Toronto. So they would need Carey Price to be absolutely amazing, and they need to find somebody who can put the puck in the net on a regular basis.
Stu Cowan of the Montreal Gazette with us here on the Fan Morning Show. What's your impression been so far, Stu, of the presentation of the games? I've been on the side of not necessarily a big fan of piped-in crowd noise. I'd like to hear more of the chirps and the trash talk from down on the benches. I understand the league and the players not necessarily wanting to expose our genteel ears to some of the more crazy things said, but I think it gives me the feel anyway, and I don't know how Canadian hockey fans feel, not just Canadiens hockey fans, but Canadian hockey fans feel about the opportunity of the NHL to give us a little bit more of an inside look during this bubble procedure.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a five-second delay on TV to eliminate some of the F-bombs that are going to be dropping on the ice. As far as the presentation, I thought it was actually better than I thought it would be. I know the game I watched, the Canadiens and the Leafs, the camera angle, usually the camera angle in Toronto at the arena there is fantastic, but it was really high. It was almost like watching the game from the press box. The way they put those sheets or whatever over the empty seats with the NHL logos and the team logos, I thought was a good idea. I know watching some of the baseball games, you know, some of the stadiums, they have the cardboard cutout fans in the seats, which is actually kind of cool. But other ones, I was watching the Washington Nationals game yesterday, and it's just empty seats behind home plate, and it sort of it looks really weird. So I think the NHL did a good job of that. It reminds me a little bit of, you know, when you watch the Winter Classic, because it's played in a football stadium or a baseball stadium, and the stands are so far away, you don't see the seats. So it seems a similar setup to that. I'm sure the NHL took from what they've done with the Winter Classic to that. So I didn't find it as a distraction as far as the empty seats because they were covered. And I actually thought it was better than I thought it would be, to be honest with you. And I know the NHL has said that they haven't shown everything they're going to do. They're going to save some of the bells and whistles for when the games start for real tomorrow night. But, you know, the NHL and, you know, Gary Bettman's been criticized a lot in the past for different things and with reason. And I've been one of the media people who has criticized them. But I think that the NHL and Bettman have done a fantastic job through this pandemic. They were patient in deciding who the hub cities were going to be. I thought stage three or phase three would be a problem with players arriving at their host cities from all over North America and Europe, but, you know, there was two positive COVID tests on the Canadians. Those guys were isolated. They came back. They seem to be fine now. And the presentation also, I think, has been really good. So I think the NHL has really, really done a fantastic job getting to this point. And we'll see what the other bells and whistles are when we watch the games on TV tomorrow. But I think it'll be pretty good. I think it'll be better. As I said, it's better than what I thought it would be.
Stu, we saw plenty of sloppiness in the two teams that we follow most closely in their exhibition games. How long would you expect it to take for the hockey to get back to, maybe not just quite playoff hockey yet, but to get back to, okay, these are really good games to watch. How long will that take?
I think the playoff intensity is going to be there right away starting tomorrow. I mean, these guys, it's been almost 5 months since they played a real game. And to go, you know, right from training camp into a postseason is obviously never happened before. So the intensity level, I think, is going to be there right from the get-go. But I think it's going to be sloppy hockey, sort of like we've seen in these exhibition games. But that usually results in a lot of goals. And so I think it's going to be exciting for fans to watch. The ice is another question. I mean, it's been really hot in Toronto and Edmonton. Most people probably didn't know that it could go up to 30 Celsius in Edmonton, which is about 90 degrees Fahrenheit. But it does in the summertime. But the good part is that there's no fans going into the stands, so the doors aren't opening and closing and letting in that humidity and hot air. But there are going to be a lot of games being played on those ice surfaces. So the ice surface is going to be something to watch. I think the play will be sloppy at the beginning. But I think it's going to be entertaining hockey to watch. As I said, I just think the intensity level is going to be there. The physicality will be there. And it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be sort of weird watching hockey in August. Personally, I never thought the NHL would be able to get to this point. I figured the pandemic was just going to be too much for them to overcome. They have, and I'm actually looking forward to watching hockey. I know a buddy of mine tomorrow night dug in pool in his backyard, and he's planning to put his giant screen projector out in the backyard and have a pool party watching the Canadians and Penguins play. So that's to be something unique, especially for Canadian hockey fans.
Man, the things they can pull off up in Canada these days. In-ground pool parties for Stanley Cup playoff games. We're jealous, Stu. Thanks for the time this morning. We appreciate it. Best of luck to the Canadiens fans that want to go out quickly so they can get Alex Lafreniere. We hope to accommodate them very soon here. Thanks again.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yeah, Stu Cowan of the Montreal Gazette. Great stuff from him. A fellow member of the Bobby Orr Admiration Society, by the way, Jim. I talked to him a couple days ago, and despite growing up in Montreal, a huge Boston Bruins Bobby Orr fan. So I knew you two would get on.
Everybody's a Bobby Orr fan.
Wonderful.
If you're smart.
If you're smart.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend
or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.